John Rosen, the LA Kings insider. John, welcome back to the show. How was your offseason?
It was longer than some of the previous off seasons, but we all got what we needed out of it, and ready to go and start the season coming up just about a week from today, actually. So good to go, and thank you again for having me back,
John. Always love having you on. The first one is in the summer, and you know it was funny. We were listening to Milan Lucic talk about how Dustin Brown was never a real big vocal guy. He was an intense leader, and but when he lost his captaincy, he wasn't overly enamored about it. Said some pretty strong words about his head coach. How do you see things playing out with Dustin Brown and the LA Kings? Is everything kind of water under the bridge? And the Kings, obviously, when they look at what they're paying him, they look at his production of 28 points, basically, the last 3 years. They're obviously hoping for more from him.
Yeah, it's very tough for Dustin Brown. There's no real way to sugarcoat it. This is something that didn't sit well with him. It might jar some of his teammates. I think the Kings have been a team, and Daryl Sutter talks about this quite a bit, that there is, just because you wear a C or an A on your jersey, that doesn't mean that the leadership committee ends there. I think, Daryl has said in the past, Jonathan Quick has been our captain. Even Milan Lucic, when he was in Los Angeles, has had those wonderful leadership abilities. Players that didn't even wear letters at times, when they were in Los Angeles, whether Justin Williams or Willie Mitchell, Jarrett Stoll generally did wear a letter, especially, later in his tenure with Los Angeles. It's a team that has had a good leadership committee. Andre Kopitar, absolutely still part of that, too. I think he's somewhat similar to Brown in that he's not exactly, again, one of those motivational speeches, yelling in the room types of guys. There are guys like that. Matt Green, the former Oiler, also has that presence as well. I think the decision is made just because the status quo wasn't working. I think it might be awkward just a little bit for the beginning of the season, especially when the team goes into some of the Canadian cities and has to deal with, a little bit more media than you traditionally get in some of the other places that the team visits. And these players get these questions quite a bit. Then at that point, it might be awkward. But, at the end of the day, over 82 games, the best players will come out. And again, as I said, the status quo had to be changed just a little bit, because when you look at the Kings the last 2 years, given a lot of the talent in the team and what they had expected, just one playoff win in those two seasons, something had to change.
I've always believed that a player is going to lead whether he's got a C on his jersey or not, if he's a true leader. But the fact is, when you've got the letter, and then it's taken away and you're still a player on that team, there can be some ill feelings, residually. Do we know how Brown feels now and the relationship with Sutter? Because, again, if you've never had it, no big deal. You can still lead. But when they take it from you, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's still among the awkward aspects of this, too. And I think Dustin Brown has a complicated relationship with Daryl Sutter. I think that's something that this has been something that had been considered in previous years. I think, that the earliest that the team had considered this was back in the 2013-14 season. Mm-hmm. But the Kings ended up winning the Stanley Cup that year. And so at that point, status quo was fine. But at this point right now, I think the team's spin on it is a little bit of this will allow Dustin Brown to get going again. That this will be something where he is able to focus on just playing hockey and not having to really keep tabs on all corners of the dressing room at this point. That's a possibility. That's certainly fine. I don't know if you can turn that into actual production, because what the Kings need is Dustin Brown to regain his scoring touch. 11 goals, 28 points in 82 games last year. He's somebody that has to, that the team is looking for to rebound from three less productive years in a row. Is that possible? We'll find out. At this point right now, it's going to be interesting to see where he slots. I think before Marian Gaborik's injury, the team over the summer had in the very thinnest penciled him in on a line alongside Kopitar and Gaborik, because Gaborik and Brown are two players that the Kings need to get going if they're going to have some success this year. And if they're going to, continue to maintain their middle of the pack offense, which was the 14th best offense of the year of the league last year, which was something that was a step forward from previous seasons. But of course, having lost Milan Lucic, that's going to be a challenge for this team to keep up their goals for. So the team is looking for a big year from Brown, and it's going to be interesting, the dynamic both in the room and, of course, with management and with the coaching staff, how that ends up playing out.
LA Kings insider John Rosen joins us. John, the Carter Toffoli Pearson line was very good for the Kings. We saw him in preseason look very good. Now, Pearson will miss the first two games with a suspension after hitting Brandon Davidson. So, Andre Kopitar, let's say he's got Brown. Does Teddy Purcell slide up on that line with Gabrick out for at least 6 weeks? Who are their other options to play with Kopitar?
All bets are off right now, and Daryl has said a couple times over the last week that they're still now trying to figure out who's going to be playing with Kopitar and who's going to be playing with Carter. Again, they had a sense of who was going to be with Kopitar prior to Gabrick's injury. Now they're auditioning players in several spots. Kopitar hasn't even rejoined the team for practice since rejoining the club after the World Cup. Congratulations to the Kopitar family, too. He welcomed a baby boy into the world earlier today, which is fantastic. It's his second child. So he hasn't rejoined the team. We should see him tomorrow. He'll rejoin the team, and we'll probably get into one game if the Las Vegas game's coming up this weekend. L.A. plays Dallas on Friday, Colorado, and Saturday at the new T-Mobile Arena. As for Carter, again, they're still trying to figure out that as well. Daryl Sutter likes to break players into pairs in their forward groups. That pair has been, for the last couple of years, Jeff Carter and Tyler Toffoli. So expect Toffoli to be to the right of Carter. Pearson hasn't played regularly there since October of 2014. The kind of, you know, with use and without use, if you start getting into the advanced stats for whatever these are worth, would indicate that Pearson has been fine along those two, but hasn't had the same type of chemistry that Carter and Toffoli have had. So that's going to be interesting to see where he slots. He should have a fine year. Like Toffoli, he's coming into a contract year as well. He's somebody that I think when you talk to management, when you talk to him, there is confidence that he can take that next leap into becoming a player that can be a 20-plus goal scorer. Tanner Pearson coming off a 15-goal season in 79 games. It was his very first full-time, full season in the National Hockey League. But again, uncharacteristically, that hit on Brandon Davidson, of course, I think it was a reckless hit, and I don't think anyone is really objecting, at least in Los Angeles right now at this point, those very close to the situation, over the fact that he was suspended. But two regular season games, and in addition to two preseason games, I think there are some who feel that might have been a little bit stiff.
John, one of the things that comes into play more when you talk suspensions, not so much just this the one to Pearson, but overall, and injuries, that could be mitigated by depth. And the one question I have about the Kings going into this season, their top end, both at forward and on the blue line, is excellent. But I see gaps there in the bottom six forwards, proven guys for sure, but I wonder if it's a bunch of fourth liners in the bottom six, and that last defense pairing as it stands right now. Is that a fair observation from outside?
That is 100% accurate right there, and that's been one of the issues that has held this team back, in winning only one playoff game over the last 2 years, is that they haven't gotten enough production from the third and fourth lines. And from a little bit of the deeper defensive pairing. The Kings have been able to be fine, and they had a 102-point season last year because of their structure, the way that they play with the puck, the organizational detail, the ability to play very aggressively in a checking type of a game, keeping scores down, and, of course, the top-end players and Jonathan Quick. But they just haven't gotten enough from those boxes in those third and fourth lines. It's why, you may see Devin Setoguchi potentially stick. Teddy Purcell is somebody that is potentially, he's been skating alongside Nick Dowd, Trevor Lewis at times in the preseason so far. He's somebody that could also provide some of that scoring depth that the team needs. But that's an absolutely accurate observation. This is a team that has players that won't hurt you, and that they all have that buy-in defensively, checking what Daryl Sutter wants to go out and execute. They're just not scoring a ton. This is a Kings team that, for years has been able to win that 2-1 game. Then on the back end, still a team that hasn't been able to adequately replace Slava Voynov over there on that right side, those minutes just below Drew Doughty. You've seen Alec Martinez do a pretty good job of that as he's a left-handed shot playing on his offside and has done a pretty good job stepping into a fewer minutes per game. But you didn't have, the kind of all-situational 23-minute right shot defenseman. So there are some interesting players that could come in and ultimately claim some of those spots. Paul Ledoux has had a fantastic camp for the LA Kings. He's probably going to start in the minor leagues as he just signed his entry-level contract coming off of that North Dakota championship team in NCAA hockey. But he's somebody that factors in potentially up in that, like, maybe number four defenseman spot right shot defenseman that should get a call up later on this year. Kevin Gravel, I think, has shown some pretty good things in this preseason as well. He can play both sides too. But no, that's something that the Kings, again, they have that structure. They have that possession game where they can still be, even if they don't have that type of depth and if they don't have that type of scoring depth, still be able to win those lower scoring games and still, you know, play that tight checking hockey. But that's kind of the difference right now between now and when you saw the Kings back in 2012, 2014.
One last one for you, John, to get down to the final cuts. Is there anybody in L.A. who's going to make that roster that maybe you didn't think was going to at the start of camp?
Devin Setoguchi. This is going to be probably a very interesting, it would be a terrific story if he is able to make the team. I don't think there's anybody right now who's read his background, the struggles with the, you know, with alcohol and substance abuse that he has gone through, that wouldn't be rooting for him at this point. He was basically just invited to camp almost as a favor, as he was looking to get back into the, you know, another year in North America, played last year in Switzerland. He said that when he went to camp last year with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that he was a player that he had to cut down nearly 30 pounds just to be able to be in shape going into camp. And that's not the type of training that you want going into an NHL camp. It's a different type of training. He wasn't in his best shape, though he had lost a lot of weight going into that Leafs camp. This year, he had the proper offseason training. He's been sober for 19 months now. And is somebody that is clearly contending for a spot with players like Gabrick out, Pearson suspended for the first two games. He's someone who might even get an audition alongside Andrei Kopitar in the game that he plays this coming weekend at Frozen Fury. So that's somebody that could be interesting. And then you have several of the depth players. Paul Adu, as I said, is somebody that's going to get a call-up middle of the season. Also, Adrian Kempe, not expected to make the team, but the Kings' top offensive prospect, first-round draft pick 2014. You know, he broke onto the scene with 8 goals in the Calder Cup playoffs 2 years ago as an 18-year-old and had an up-and-down year as he was continuing to transition as a 19-year-old in the AHL last year. This year has had a good camp so far. He's still with the team. And again, he's likely to get sent down at the end of the camp, but also could be a late-season call-up. And he's one of those types of faster, skilled-type players with some good finishing ability that should help this Kings team transition towards, you know, maybe a little bit more speed, a little bit more skill.
John, always appreciate your time. Thanks for this. We'll talk to you throughout the season.
Jason, my pleasure. Thank you so much.